This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Book the Pod!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. And we got to say a big thank you to Coach Dan. He's actually gotten us back on Apple Podcasts. He figured it out. If you're ever on the show, like Survivor or Big Brother or one of those, or what's the one on MTV? The Challenge? Something? I don't know. Get Coach Dan.
Real World.
Get Coach Dan to be the one to solve puzzles for you, because he was able to figure this out. I've been trying to do this for like 4 months and I haven't figured out what's going on, but Coach Dan, he got the show up and we're back on Apple Podcasts. So thanks, Coach.
It took one solo show for me to go, huh, I don't think that's right. I just noticed something was wrong. I was like, why is that thing there? I don't think it's supposed to be there.
Yeah.
Just moved it. It was like, hey, it works now. I was like, all right.
Yeah. Thankfully, we are being heard again on Apple Podcasts. So hopefully we didn't lose too many listeners because of that issue. But we're still putting out content and gave you other places to go until then. But hey, if you were an Apple Podcast subscriber, you should be able to hear us again.
Why?
Thankfully.
Their app is terrible.
The app is terrible. So please.
It's not great.
Yeah. I'm not a fan. I had to stop using it.
Where's my phone? Which one do you use? I always forget the name of the one that I use.
I use Overcast. It's simple. It's sleek. I like it.
That, you know what? Which one did you say? Overcast?
Overcast.
That's the one that I use. I was using, rattle off the ones we're on again. Let's give them another plug.
Apple Podcasts, Stitcher,
no.
TuneIn.
Not Stitcher. I don't remember. I was using one of them. I actually really like the layout for Overcast. I actually am really enjoying that one.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Overcast. Well done, Overcast people. You made a good app.
Air five for you.
It's simple. It's easy. Like the Apple Podcast one, there's just way too much going on. They're constantly just like, you should also listen to this show. No, I'll figure it out. you don't need to tell me. I'm good.
I've got this.
But you know who had it but let it slip away? That's the Washington Capitals. What a segue there. The Capitals, they finished the month of November in Florida. They look like they were sitting pretty. And then the third period happened. One of the worst 20 minutes of hockey that I've seen in a long time. Some are saying worst in franchise history happened the last day of November.
Actually, I was going to say that's dramatic, but that might have a point.
The Caps were up, 4-1?
Mm-hmm.
Into the third, and then they lost 5-4. They were 15 seconds away from at least getting a point going into overtime. This was just
relive it, Brandon.
All around collapse, and unfortunately, not the only collapse that they really had in that third period, because this also happened in Carolina. They were able to beat Carolina at the end, thankfully, but this team is having a really hard time finishing games. This is now two in a row where even the coach has been like, yeah, we stopped playing. Like, Coach LaViolette was not happy with his team after losing to the Florida Panthers. But it seems to be the Achilles heel right now for this team is that third period. It's something that the Caps are just giving up. I don't know why.
And, yeah, I think LaViolette's a little confused as to what's going on. I mean, you're looking at, it isn't even so much they took their foot off the gas. It's that they just thought, well, game's over. We got to win here, guys. Let's go ahead and pack up. You know, let's get the bags back on the plane. We'll be fine. Let's head back home.
Right. They just went on cruise control. They were like,
yeah, it was. It was very
cars,
much cruise control. It was 26-2 in shots.
Right.
24-2, something like that in shots in the third period. There are some games where teams don't even get 24 shots in three periods.
Right.
Florida clearly wanted to win or to get something out of that game. They were determined to at least, if they were going to lose, to try and make something out of it, have some respectable score line. And the Caps were like, all right, we'll let you do that. We don't really have a problem with this idea of you guys coming back and sticking this one back to us. And they completely blew that game. And again, they should have easily walked away with by just keeping up that pressure. And apparently they even talked about it during the intermission between second and third period. And it still happened.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing. And that's a problem. And that is something that clearly needs to get fixed. Because now you're talking two games in a row in a third period where they just let a team back in. And this is a team, I understand, this is a team that's struggling right now in terms of their health. You got Backstrom who's out. You got Oshie who's out. You got Mantha who's out. You got true. But you've got like big name dudes on this team. I mean, you have pretty much the entire second line in Backstrom, Oshie, and Mantha.
John Walton actually called, I think, the fourth line the Hershey line. Like, you literally just is
it
like.
It basically yep, is at this
These
point.
Are the Bears.
And the team, I mean, they were what? They're I was like 9-0-1 or something. They've been doing great recently. Maybe that was just Sam Sonoff. We can talk about him in a minute.
Yeah.
But they were playing well. So to lose, like, if they was there up 2-1 and they lost that game 3-2 against Florida, you'd be like, all right, Florida's a good team this year. They put a bit more pressure on, you know, they played really well in the third. They got, you know, I don't know, 11, 12 shots, got a couple in. They played really well, fine. But to get embarrassed in the third period that way, it was pathetic for a team that's this good.
And for the most part, November was a good month for the Capitals. I mean, they had that really tough West Coast road trip, and they got points. They got at least 1 point against Anaheim. They beat L.A. They beat the San Jose Sharks. They got embarrassed by Seattle. But before that, they were able to beat the Penguins 6-1. The Carolina Hurricanes, they were able to beat this past Sunday 4-2. And, I mean, that's the top – was at that point the top team in the league. So the Caps, I mean, it's not like they've been sluggish. They've been doing really well. They took the top spot of the entire NHL after that Carolina game. So, like, the Capitals have the talent. They're doing well. But this was just an all-around breakdown at the end of the month. I don't know. They were just tired from all the turkey they had on Thanksgiving the couple days before. I guess almost a week earlier. But they just completely fell flat. I mean, they played 40 minutes, and they were like, no, ready to go home. We're done.
Yeah, that's apparently what happened. I don't know. I don't have another, like, thought of, oh, well, clearly it was just this, guys. And, like, right. You know, it's okay. You can look at it and go, you know what? Their other team was a better team. They outplayed them. It is what it is, right? There's nothing we can do about it. Like, that game should have been, we got this. Got it in my pocket right here. You know, I don't actually have a pocket on my shirt right here, but it's not the point. Game's over. Let's move on. Let's get ready for the next one. You know, we're going to come out strong in the third, keep playing our game, keep the same thing we've been doing. Clearly that's working. They're going to probably come out pushing hard first couple minutes. Let's make sure we weather that storm, and then we'll move on. But instead of doing that, they just decide, you know what? We don't need these points.
Right. They couldn't even get one.
We don't even need one of them.
Yeah.
Here you go, Florida. We're going to give it back to you.
You do have to feel a little bit for Beck Malenstein because this was – he got his first NHL goal in this game, which had to have been, I mean, a life goal for him to be able to get that first goal. He's been working really hard. He missed all of last year due to an injury, so he worked his way back from that. He finally gets up to the big leagues and is playing exceptionally well, and then he takes a really bad penalty. Not. I don't know if it was entirely his fault. Bobrovsky may have just taken advantage of the situation, knowing this kid was a rookie.
I think he could have avoided it.
He could have avoided it. Maybe as he plays a little bit more in the NHL, he gets a little bit better at where he is at the end of a game like that. But it was the highest of highs and the lowest of lows for the kid because, I mean, he gets his first goal. He's on top of the world. And then they lose. Not because of him, but him taking that penalty at that point, it didn't help the team either.
No. I don't think it does in terms of making those mistakes. And it's an unfortunate situation where, like you said, you go from a really, really high point in your game and in your career to just bottom. And you could see at the end of the game, you know, they showed a shot of him on the bench and he was clearly crushed.
Yeah.
By the mistake that he made, and clearly an avoidable mistake. And wasn't intentional. I don't think he was trying to, but he put himself in a position for that call to get made, and that's going to happen, you know. These are smart players in the NHL, and you know, you put yourself in a position to get a penalty called against you, things are going to happen. So it's unfortunate. You know, it is what it is, but in reality, the team never should have gotten to that point where that penalty mattered that much.
Right.
As it clearly did. Like, they put themselves in a bad spot by playing like crap throughout the entire third period.
They really did. And I like Beck Malenstein a lot. I think this kid has a lot of talent. I definitely could see him as maybe a fourth line guy next year for the Capitals. So he's definitely taking his time and showing what he can do at this level. But hopefully he can just learn from that mistake he made. Yeah, I mean, it getting to 5-4, not his fault, but it didn't help. It didn't help the situation. They were already playing poorly, and then he gets himself taken out, and the Panthers got to give it to him. They took advantage of the situation. That's exactly what they did. So I don't know. This team is very strong. They have some great players, and I think these minor league players are also showing that these guys can go. I mean, 7 rookies have now scored, and that's something that we've always preached, not just this year when everybody's hurt, but in the years in the past, where the secondary scoring has to be there. It can't just be Ovechkin and Kuznetsov and Oshie scoring all the goals all the time. It's got to be 4 lines deep. There has to be a goal scorer on every single line. It has to be everybody getting the puck to the net. And we're finally seeing that from these Hershey Bear rookies, that the secondary scoring is right there. And we got, I mean, not even them, Nick Dowd. Nick Dowd as well is really showing up this past month and getting to the back of the net. So all of the secondary scoring is really, really good for the Capitals. Hopefully they can move on and they can get past this Florida Panthers game, and we can see more of that coming up, at least in the month of December. But I mean, overall, if you look at the month and not just that one game, it's been a successful month for the Capitals. But I mean, to end it on such a sour note really is like a depressing way to go into December and have that be your final note on November. But I mean, overall, this past month, I don't think it was a complete loss for the Caps.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think they had a really good month of November, and I'm hoping that this latest game against Florida, where they just, you know, screwed the pooch, that they just
crap the bed, is what you usually like to say.
That is, I usually do go with crap the bed. I can mix it up from time to time.
Sure.
You know, I think my hope is that they go away from that game with this is an opportunity for us to learn. Let's not dwell on it. Let's move forward and, you know, get ready for the rest of the season. And it's not something that sort of hinders them. It's not something that they're so focused on that they can't play their game the way they need to, because this is a team that's doing really well right now, especially considering all of their injuries.
That's right. We still are missing Nick Backstrom, TJ Oshie, Anthony Mantha, and Justin Schultz. All those guys are on IR, unfortunately. Have you heard anything about any of these guys potentially coming back? We saw Oshie for what, like a split second in one game, and now he's back on IR?
Yeah, no, I haven't seen anything recently. I was doing a quick check through, and I can do it again. But I haven't seen anything. I don't even know if they practiced today.
I know today was a day off.
So then, yeah, we probably won't learn anything till Thursday.
Yeah. And then we also have Connor Sheary missing time. He's day to day as well. So it is nice to see all of these rookies, from the Hershey Bears finally getting their shot and coming up. And like we said, 7 rookies this year have scored goals. So that is good to see, but of course we want Nick Backstrom and TJ Oshie and the other guys on IR back in this lineup, because I mean, they make the big bucks for a reason.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to go into a season and be getting more and more opportunities to have a run at the playoffs and do well in the playoffs, then you need your big players not only step up, but first to play. And when you're going without your second line and you've got, you know, a number of players that should probably be playing in Hershey or would normally be playing in Hershey playing, it's definitely a benefit to the other team. But the Caps have been doing well.
Yeah.
With these, you know, a lot of their guys out. So you have to hope that they keep it up.
What do you think about Protas being a number one line guy. I mean, that's got to be huge for him playing with Yevgeny Kuznetsov and Alex Ovechkin.
It's an outstanding opportunity for him. It kind of reminds me of when they had Boyd Gordon playing on the line with Jager. Both of them had some potential. Gordon's unfortunately never worked out. I think it's a great opportunity for Protas to learn from playing with those guys. You know, he's got to probably pick up his speed a bit in terms of at least his hand speed. And, you know, I'd like to see these young guys getting these opportunities, knowing that, you know, once a couple of these other guys come back, they may not get it. And it also gives the coaching staff, it gives the front office staff an opportunity to kind of see what these guys have and see if their potential, you know, are they going to be able to get to it a little bit quicker than they were expecting, or are they still going to need a lot more, I don't know, cooking in the minors? So we'll see what happens from that, but I think getting more opportunities you get can't hurt.
What do you think of this Hershey line, that fourth line of Beck Malenstein, Michael Scarbosa, and Brett Leeson? They're called the Hershey line, but I assume that these guys played together in the minor leagues. They know each other really well. I think that line has done pretty well at the main NHL level. Do you see a future of those three guys maybe getting spots next year full time up here?
I mean, some of them, a lot of it depends on how the rest of the season goes. A lot of it depends on what they decide to do in the offseason. Nick Dowd getting re-signed definitely confused me a little bit, as I mentioned last week. But I think that a bunch of these guys have shown that the Caps may look at kind of changing their minds a little bit. Now, they don't really have a ton of guys that are necessarily going to be up for a new contract next year that are scheduled to be unrestricted free agents. You know, Brett Leeson is due a new deal. He's be restricted. Beck Malenstein and Daniel Sprong actually will all be restricted free agents that will be up for new deals. You've got Dennis Chalowski. He's going to need a new deal. Matt Irwin's the only one that I can see right now that is scheduled to be unrestricted. And then you have Samsonov and Vanacek, who both need new deals as restricted free agents. And then there's Justin Schultz, who will need a new deal. But, you know, maybe it opens up an opportunity for you to move someone out. Do you look at making a trade? Is someone like and I keep bringing this up, but only because partially his age and his cap hit and his play, do you look at moving out someone like Carl Hagelin and promoting one of these young guys like a Protas into that position?
I could definitely see something like that happening, but what about a guy like Daniel Sprong? He doesn't have that much time left on his contract. He's a guy that is a healthy scratch right now. Potentially, you could either, I don't know if you can release him.
Which means they're signing him to a new deal tomorrow.
Right. But is he a guy that could potentially, you know, hit the road? He's a healthy scratch right now. They're giving these Hershey Bears a look, and Daniel Sprong's up in the press box. He's not playing. Is he a guy that you kind of give, you trade away for some draft picks or something and say, like, look, he doesn't have that many years left on his contract. You're not going to need him for too long. Oh, yes. He can be a rental.
Well, he does. He has no years left on his contract. So if you trade him in the offseason, you're going to be trading.
Well, I'm not even saying offseason. I'm saying, like, trade deadline, like this year.
Oh, like maybe you package him as part of a deal to get someone. Maybe. You know, I don't really want to see this team give away too many draft picks. I definitely don't want to see them giving away prospects necessarily, because you need those players with an aging core. You need these young guys that can step up and be ready to step into the lineup. And as we're seeing right now with these older guys, I mean, Mantha's not that old, but with some of these older guys like Backstrom, Oshie being out, Schultz is 31, Mantha's 27. But then you have Oshie, who's 34. You have Backstrom, who's 34 as well. You need young guys that can step up, so I don't want to lose those guys. But I agree. I think you could see a guy like a Daniel Sprong who's not playing when you're giving these Hershey guys opportunities. Like, maybe he just doesn't fit into Laviolette's system, and maybe you're like, you know what, maybe we move him out. You're not going to get much for him, but you're just freeing up a roster spot for someone else that you feel is going to produce more and give more to the... No, that sounds mean, because it sounds like Sprong's not trying. But is going to be able to produce more, that you have maybe a longer term or a longer goal in mind for them, because you think they have more potential, right? So let's give them minutes. Let's give Protas minutes. Let's give Leeson minutes. Let's give some of these young guys more minutes. Beck Malenstein, maybe. Maybe give them more minutes instead of Sprong.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting to see what they do moving forward, but I've been nothing but impressed with all of these Hershey Bears. I think they've all kind of shown that they are showing 110%. Looking at the defensive pairs, this is probably one of the best defensive teams we've had in a very long time. Of course, John Carlson
is the
Yeah, of course, we know John Carlson is the mainstay here, but a guy like Martin Fehervari, who really fought his way onto this team, and they've had a lot of faith in him. He's showing that it's good to have faith in him, because he's definitely showing off and he's doing what he has to do. He's bulked up a lot. He's been an absolutely fantastic defenseman, and especially paired with John Carlson, he's really shining right now.
Yeah, I think, well, when you play with a NHL star and John Carlson, it's going to definitely make you look better, but I think he's just getting more and more comfortable in his role. And I think that only gives him the opportunity to play better. You know, when you go out there, look at Nick Jensen. He played with Zdeno Chara last year. He's having a great season so far.
Yeah.
You know, so when you play with a veteran guy and you're a young player and you're doing well, you're going to gain more confidence, which means you're going to get more confidence in yourself. You're progressing through your skill set and just getting better and better. And, you know, I love what I'm seeing from Favard. You know, he makes his mistakes here and there, and when you play with young guys, it's going to happen, and they're going to cost you goals or games potentially even. But I think it's only a benefit to this team in the long run to be having someone like a Martin Favard getting these kind of minutes.
Now, a guy that is getting a shot right now, big thing, I feel like we're going to have to do a segment on these guys every single show, but Samsonov, 4 starts
Sam
in a row. That is unheard of from Samsonov. I think last year he didn't even get 3 in a row. Now here we go. He's gotten 4. He's been fantastic. He's done really well in these 4 games. Of course, I am a VTech fan, but again, like we said, we've been saying this all year. It seems like they're not, at least they weren't before. They weren't just sticking with the hot hand. They were switching it up no matter what. Now I think they've switched it up, and now they're like, all right, Sammy's doing well. Let's just stick with him. I don't know why my voice got so high.
Yeah, what's going on over there? Why is he so happy? I think Laviolette didn't want to mess with what was working. Problem is, it crapped out in the third period. But and that's not that game is definitely not on Samsonov's fault. Like that, you know, the winning goal for Florida probably wants that one back. But all the ones before that, he probably could have gotten a little bit more help. So, I you know, he's been playing well. I think you keep going with him as the hot hand. You know, maybe you give Vanecek the next game. But, you know, I think we saw these last few games the player that the Capitals were hoping that they were going to get. And you kind of have to hope that game doesn't mess him up too much. I think he's just more mad, if anything, at the guys kind of around him or annoyed at the situation. But I want to see Vanecek again, but you know, you still want to see Samsonov continue his development, because that's what this team needs.
I'm a little bummed that we never got to do a show together after Zach Fucale got his start and his NHL level game after spending 8 years in the AHL, and how cool of a story that was for him. But I think the fact that Zach Fucale got a start really lit a fire under Sammy's butt, because Zach did really well. It was a shutout in his debut. And Sammy hasn't left the crease since that happened. So I think that was kind of a wake-up call to Sammy and being like, oh, right, yeah, there's other people here that want my job.
Yeah. I mean, I think it did. I think it did light a little bit of a fire under him. I think, you know, I made the comment on Twitter about how Samsonov may need to go down to the minors for a little bit to kind of get his game back. But instead, you know, they brought up Fucale. He played really well.
The minors came to him.
Well, that's true. The minors did come to him. He's now playing in Hershey. He just doesn't realize it with different jerseys. So, yeah, I mean, he took the little bit of a challenge that he was given, and he's like, all right, you know, challenge accepted. He decided to go and play well, and he did. And I think Samsonov, you know, I would talk before about Vanecek was clearly number one. Samsonov's the number two. Looks more like it's a 1A, 1B situation again.
I mean, 4 games in a row, I think that's I mean, I have to assume that's a statement right there. 4 games in a row and you get the start.
Yeah, but a statement from who? Laviolette or from Samsonov?
A little bit of both. little bit from both. I think it was Sammy kind of going, look, you can trust me. I'm pretty good. I think it was Laviolette going, all right, show me. And you did. So you're going to continue to do your thing. But I definitely, I mean, if I was a betting man, I would say the game against Chicago, VTech would be coming back for that one. So I don't know. But I also, you know, you said Fucali, there was no way he was starting or playing a game. I just want to point out.
I didn't say there's no way. I just didn't think it was going to happen.
And I did. And I was right. Again.
All right, settle down.
Yeah, so, I mean, this was definitely an interesting month of November for these for the boys. And this is fun. I got to say, like, yeah, that Panthers game was terrible, but it's been fun.
Yeah, I was like, no, I don't know about fun is the right word to use there after the end of that game.
That was really bad, but it's been fun seeing what the rookies can do and what's been going on in Hershey. I mean, Hershey's got a lot of talent. I think that these guys are kind of proving that. And I just imagine not now. They've got a lot of COVID issues right now in Hershey. But as all of these guys were getting called up to the big leagues, like the players that are left down there, they're probably like, when's my turn? When do I get a call?
Yeah. Excuse me. I want to play too. Hello. Can I get a call up? That'd be great. My turn. I mean, some of it's the same guys are getting called up. So it's not like they're like going through a rotation of like, okay, all right, now it's your turn. Okay. Oh, they need someone else. Now it's your turn. Okay. You're next up on the list. No, go back where you were in line. No cuts. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. I mean, Joe Snively's tearing it up, I believe, in Hershey, so he might get an opportunity at some point. But, you know, right now it's looking really good for the Caps in terms of young guys. But you have to see, you know, what do you have there? They need to figure out what they have. You know, do you have a first-line guy coming up? He's just not there yet. Do you have a second-line prospect? Are they all third- and fourth-liners? So I hope to see these guys continue to play well with the minutes that they're getting because it just gives the Capitals more and more confidence in their prospects.
Absolutely. So anything else we should cover here in Caps world?
It's been some fun posts that we've seen out there about the rookie Caps scoring. They've got 7 different people that have scored their first NHL goal this season. Favari, LaPierre, McMichael, Pilon, Protas, Leeson, and Mallinson, which is pretty cool. I don't know if you saw the tweet that went out that had all of the players with their pictures, except for the picture of Martin Favari was of also Beck Mallinson. So he had 2 pictures on there.
Okay. I didn't see that, but all right.
Which was interesting. Last little bit of Caps news, some prospect news. As previously mentioned, Hendrix LaPierre and Vincent Iorio, who is a 2021 second-round pick for the Caps, they made Canada's national junior team selection camp. So that's kind of cool. You know, it's an opportunity for them to get a little more experience with some other really talented players. I have to imagine LaPierre is going to make the team, and I think it would be nice for the Caps if Iorio did as well.
I mean, it's going to be a little difficult to have to root for Team Canada. You know, I think at the World Juniors, you do want to root for your home country. But I want to see what LaPierre and Vincent Iorio can do. So hopefully they make the team. I mean, this is just the selection camp. They could break the roster down a little bit more, and these guys might not make it. But like you said, I assume Hendrix LaPierre will be making it, and it'd be nice if both of the guys could. But I'm torn now. I still got to root for Team USA, but I'm also a Caps fan, and I want to see these guys do well. So I don't
know. They can do well. Just, you know, Team USA wins the championship 7-6 after LaPierre scores a double hat trick.
Okay. Okay. I can do that. He what was the, was it 9 goals in a game? Was the Ovech trick, that old commercial? You remember that?
Yeah, that was stupid.
Yeah. But yeah, let's see if he can do that. Let's bring that to life. You played with Ovi a little bit. Go ahead. Do your thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll keep you posted. World Juniors is what, 26 days away, so something like that, end of December, so we'll keep you updated on all that. So if that's it for what's going on in Caps world, now let's go down on the farm. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears, and not just the ones that are right now playing for the Capitals, but the actual Hershey Bears, and the South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, let's start in Hershey, where in the past week, the Bears went 1-1 with an overtime win over Providence. The Bears are currently 4th in the Atlantic Division with 19 points, 11 back of first place Springfield. Now, Hershey did suspend their game this past Sunday and Wednesday, that being when we're recording now, against Lehigh Valley due to the AHL's COVID protocols, as well as this upcoming weekend's games on December 4th and 5th. The postponed game, originally scheduled for December 1st at Lehigh Valley, has been rescheduled. That game will now take place on Tuesday, December 21st, at just after 7 o'clock at the PPL Center. What does PPL stand for, you think?
PPL, I don't know.
I'm curious. Anyways, at the PPL Center in Allentown. Heading on down to South Carolina, where the Stingrays went 2-0-1 with two wins over Atlanta. They are currently sixth in the South Division with 15 points, but only 6 points back of first-place Florida. So, get a couple of wins. And I think they've played two less games than Florida. So, they certainly have an opportunity to get back higher up in that division still pretty early in their season. They'll be back at it with two home games in a row against Greenville starting on Friday before they head to Greenville on Sunday. That's what's going on down on the farm.
So the PPL Center is a sports arena in Allentown that is owned by PPL Corporation.
That's PPL, all it's what it stands for.
PPL Corporation is an energy company headquartered in Allentown, and they're a power company. They're utilities.
Oh, that's boring.
Who are we? What does PPL stand for?
I don't think that's going to give you what you think.
I got their mission statement and their vision.
That's what I thought you were going to get. Oh, well, some things are just not meant to be known.
I don't know. I don't know what it stands for, but they're an energy company, and apparently their owner likes hockey.
There you go.
So, yeah, there you go. Yeah, hopefully the Bears can get back on the road and play some games. Hopefully everybody's okay with the COVID situation going on there. It's it's the world we live in right now, unfortunately. There's a new variant that's already in California, and I don't know. Holidays are coming up, so everybody just be safe. Hershey Bears, players, fans, and listeners here, everybody just be safe out there. So, hey, go Bears, go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL and beyond. All right, there's plenty going on around the NHL and beyond. So, Coach Dan, he's going to catch us all up on the news of the world of hockey. So, Coach Dan, what is going on around the NHL and beyond? And I have to say it like that every time.
Pretty much. Let's start on Long Island, as the Islanders had two games suspended. Oh, this kind of, we should be joking. But they've had two games suspended due to a COVID outbreak at the club. The team was without eight regular skaters before the NHL shut them down.
Wow, so they're like, they're not playing any games.
Yeah, they've shut down. They had at least a couple of games in November. I think two games that were shut down. We'll see how that, I think they're going to be starting it up again. Changes have come to the Montreal Canadiens as they announced that they have fired general manager Mark Bergevin, as well as assistant GM Trevor Simmons and senior vice president of affairs and communications Paul Wilson. One of those doesn't match. Like, I get it if your team's not doing well and you fire the GM and the assistant GM, but what did the VP of affairs and communications do to you? Like, did that dude get fired for something else and they just lumped him into the press release?
Yeah, they were just like, yeah, you know, we're
like,
what
am I missing here that this dude got lumped in? Like, I don't understand what's going on there. The team hired Jeff Gorton to be the team's new VP of hockey operations. I remember reading that going, okay, all right, what? I don't, okay. Anyways, speaking of not really people doing things wrong, that was a terrible segue. Rod Brind'Amour of the Carolina Hurricanes, he's the head coach, he got fired $25,000 for inappropriate conduct in the game against the Capitals.
He was mad.
He was less than pleased. Carolina's Andre Svechnikov, he was fined $5,000 for kneeing Philly's Scott Laughton. That's not nice. Rangers' Artemi Panarin was fined $5,000 for unsportsmanlike conduct against Boston's Brad Marchand. Did you see this play?
Is that where he threw his glove at him? I mean,
I'm laughing because it looked funny, and I didn't understand what was going on, and I saw it, and I was like, huh? Why do that?
We've all been there with Brad Marchand, haven't we? Like,
well, yeah, but do you know what he alleged? He said he is accusing, I should say, Marchand of doing.
What?
So he's claiming that Marchand was talking smack to him about Russia and Putin. Now, Panarin is a well-known proponent, I guess is the right word, of Vladimir Putin. He does not like him. And Marchand was talking smack to him about that. And I guess Panarin, like there was a whole thing. Panarin, like, stepped away from the Rangers for a little while because of it. There was a whole thing that went down. Or was it when he's with? No, he's with the Rangers, I'm pretty sure. So, yeah, Marchand, if that's what you said, like, that's not cool. You're playing ice hockey. Don't go after the guy and his, like, personal views and about a country that's got whole other things going on.
So, okay. I'm not even going into it.
Don't throw your glove, because although it was kind of funny. Anyway, Ottawa, like, it was almost childlike where you're like, yeah, and you just, like, throw a glove at someone versus, like, wait till you're on the ice next and then go after the dude, right? Because then probably not getting a penalty. Well, you're probably still getting fined for it. Ottawa's, dude, everybody got fined $5,000 except for Rod Brindamore, who got fined $25,000. So he's probably sitting there being like, why am I getting a different fine than everybody else?
All I did was drop a couple F-bombs. Come on.
Yeah, right. Ottawa's Nikita Zaitsev was fined $5,000 for cross-checking San Jose's Timo Meier. Columbus's Max Domi was fined, you guessed it, $5,000 for unsportsmanlike conduct against Winnipeg's Yevgeny Shvetsnikov. Winnipeg's Josh Morrissey, sounds like he'd be a leader of a band than a hockey player. He was fined $5,000 for slashing Columbus's Alexander Tessier. He's French, so I'm assuming it's pronounced that way. We also have a couple of suspensions as Boston's Brad Marchand. There he is
there
again.
He,
he was suspended for 3 games for slew-footing Vancouver's Oliver Ekman-Larsson. And the weirdest one, and it makes you wonder what's wrong with this guy, Los Angeles's, there it is, Brendan Lemieux was suspended for 5 games for biting Ottawa's Brady Tkachuk. Why are you biting people? What is wrong with you?
Okay. We got COVID and everything going around. Maybe
toddler,
don't bite people.
Yeah, right? My toddler doesn't bite people. What's your problem? Idiot. The USA, Canada, and Finland have unveiled their Olympic sweaters.
We got to break these down. All right, let's go one by one. So,
okay, so Canada's, let's go with them first. The white, I like, except for the red on the shoulders. And the maple leaf looks really weird. Like, that looks like some, if you're, like, creating a team in an NHL video game.
Yeah, so everyone who hasn't seen these, go Google them. But
blacks are nice.
They have a white, a black, and a red sweater.
All right, so Canada, I like the whites, I like the blacks, I like the reds. I think the shoulders just need to be fixed.
Shoulders are a little weird. I think that's why I like the black one the most, because the shoulders kind of are the same shade of black.
Sort of. It almost looks like it's see-through. I feel like Canada's are fine. They're nothing spectacular, but they're fine. I think I tweeted out that I love them at first, and I was like, you know what, the more I look at it, I'm taking that back.
Nice. As our buddy Phil has said, though, how do you mess up a maple leaf? Because I will say this maple leaf is a little odd.
It is very odd. Not a little.
It kind of looks like the back feathers of the NBC logo. Like, it kind of looks like the NBC peacock.
All right. Yeah. I have the USA one here. Do you want to do that one first, or do you want to do Finland?
Let's do USA.
Okay, because there's... Okay. Theirs suck. There you go.
Why
does it say USA twice, by the way? They have it on the crest, which is like up high on the right shoulder chest area. So that's stupid. And then it looks like a freaking like sweater you get in the store, like not like a jersey.
The USA jerseys definitely look like they are designed by Ralph Lauren or Tommy Hilfiger. Like that white one, I've definitely seen like a Ralph Lauren polo shirt with this exact logo.
You can go buy this thing at Abercrombie and Fitch.
TJ Maxx. Don't even say Abercrombie.
Oh. He went TJ Maxx on him.
Yeah.
Did you know Marshall's. They have a I don't call it a knockoff per se, but there's a store that's basically the same thing in the UK, and I believe it's called TK Maxx.
TK Maxx?
I think that's right. Hold on. I'm going to look that up real quick. It's probably other places. TK Maxx. Is that right? Yeah, TK Maxx. Top fashion gifting homeware brands.
So of the three USA sweaters, I will say I like the light blue the most, because I don't like that red pipe underneath the other two jerseys at the bottom of the USA. Also, I hate the script. The USA script is like, it looks like it's straight out of the 90s. I am not a fan of the script for the USA. I don't like that at all. I almost like, if you took out the USA lettering and put just like 50 stars on these jerseys, I might like it a little bit more.
So let me show you something real quick. I'm going to send you a picture. So this is AC Milan. That's a soccer team in Italy, Brandon.
That's the thing. I thought you and our buddy Phil and Ryan would love these USA jerseys, because the first time I looked at them, I was like, no, these are soccer jerseys. Why would they send this here?
No, terrible, 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 terrible. Hold on. I got to find a picture I can actually, like, it will let me send you. But look at these things and tell me it doesn't remind you of the USA jerseys.
Oh, it does. I honestly, yeah, very much.
They're
looks
awful.
Like
a, awful. Yeah. Awful. USA. Just make it like the freaking 1980s ones.
Yeah.
Or, I don't think I can reach it over there. I have a Ryan Miller USA jersey.
I definitely will say that the 1980s Miracle on Ice jerseys are my favorites. I don't know. Well, I know why we don't go with them anymore. I like the
look
Ryan Miller.
Look at this thing of beauty.
And it has the
USA
badge. You love the badge.
Badge is a little meh. It does say USA twice on here. I just noticed that for the first time. That's going to bother me now. But it's got, look, it's got USA diagonally going down. You got the red, white, and blue. It's the white jersey. It's amazing. Why would you not just do this again? Or it's 1980.
Well, I mean, they're not going to, they're always going to switch it up because they want to sell new jerseys. But this
one.
Yeah,
you have different players. That's why people buy new jerseys. Fine, switch them up, but make tweaks, little changes.
I will say that this is an improvement from 4 years ago where it had like the BP sleeves. I couldn't stand that jersey.
Yeah, those are awful. USA hasn't had a good one in a while.
Yeah, I think Vancouver was the last one where they were okay.
I think that's the one I have here. Can we talk about a good jerseys?
So let's talk a little bit about Finland, who released their jersey as well.
I like the blue one's okay. I really like the white one because you got blue on blue for their home, I guess. But the white one I actually really like. I think that one looks good. And I like I don't even know what that is. Like
it
a
is the
lion
crowned,
that's going to kill you.
The crowned lion from the Nordic nation's 440-year-old coat of arms.
He's like about to step on a sword, though. That looks really dangerous. Like, careful with your feet, buddy.
He's balancing. He's very talented.
Oh, don't mess with that guy. Though, I really like these Finland jerseys.
Yeah, the Finland has, I mean, you look at some of the ones they've had in the past, they've always had some, you know, nice-looking sweaters. I really do like their designs. But these are very nice, very classy. Of the three announced so far, this one's my favorite.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that one. That's definitely the best one so far.
Team Canada, for me, comes in second, and unfortunately the USA comes in third.
USA is in fifth.
With ones that have not been released yet?
Yep, they're already worse. They're terrible.
We've got 2 months to go until the Winter Olympics, so we will see more.
Then they've got 2 months to fix these crappy jerseys.
More sweaters coming soon. Did Nike have the one from, what was that, 8 years ago? From Sochi with the stars on the shoulders?
And yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Giant,
sucked.
They had the giant crest in the middle. I don't know. If Nike, I just don't think they know how to design a jersey. I really don't.
Well, who? I just clicked away from it. Who did Finland's? They did Finland.
I don't know. All right, I don't know then.
I got nothing. I don't know, man. You suck, though. Anyway, Speaking of Team USA, they even up the series at 2-2 against Canada in the MyY Tour. On November 23rd, Team USA won their fourth game with a 2-0 win with a game-winning goal from Hillary Knight. Next game in the series will be on December 15th at 7 p.m. in St. Louis and can be viewed on the NHL Network. That's the news from the past week in the NHL and beyond!
Crazy, crazy amounts of things going on in the Caps world, NHL world, international hockey world. Love covering it all. We're going to have even more to talk about at the end of the month with the World Juniors coming up, Olympics coming up. Man,
do they wear the same crappy jerseys or do they get their own non-crappy ones?
I think they wear the ones from the last Olympics until the new Olympics, and then they're forced to wear them for 4 years.
So they're safe for a little while.
No, because the ones from the 4 years ago really suck. Like, ugh. Actually, I don't think that, I think because this isn't Olympic hockey, they can use the USA hockey logo where like the S is like a flag. You know which one I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so you're allowed to use your logo as long as it's not Olympic hockey. If it's IIHF tournaments, you're allowed to use your company logo because USA Hockey is a brand. But that's actually why in Vancouver, the USA just has like the big block letters, because they were using the USA branding from the company, the USA Hockey Company. And then like last minute, the IIHF was like, no, you can't do that. Or Olympic Hockey was like, no, you can't do that. And they're like, fine, we'll just use the big USA then. And everyone was like, oh, cool. Nice. Yeah.
Nice, nice.
All right. Well, hey, is that it for the show?
I think that's it.
That's it. All right. Well, hey, if you want to continue the conversation with Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals related stuff when I have a chance to actually sit on my phone when my son's not driving me crazy. I'm on there also talking about Arsenal Football Club, Bills, Washington Football Team, and other things related to the wide world of sports. But that's finding me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But if you've enjoyed the show, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where we'll post when new shows are coming up, as well as all sorts of other things related to the Washington Capitals, the Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays, anything else that might have to do with Caps hockey that's not really have to do with Caps hockey, other prospects, juniors, the Quebec Major Juniors, WHL, wherever players are, as well as things related to the National Hockey League and other fun things that pop into Brandon's head. But that's Facebook. He's nodding, everybody. That's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, I was talking about a couple of football teams just a moment ago. If someone happens to be a fan of a local-based football team that happens to wear purple, is there a certain podcast they should follow?
That's right. If you are a Baltimore Ravens fan, you can check out my Baltimore Ravens podcast called The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast where me and my buddy Josh talk all things Baltimore Ravens football. We're getting ready. It is Steeler Hate Week this week. It's the Ravens. It's the Steelers. Big rivalry game this Sunday at 4 o'clock. So even if you aren't a Ravens fan or a Steelers fan, you should still watch this game because it's going to be a rough one to watch. It's going to be a battle. So definitely check that out. We'll be previewing that game on our next episode. And you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts just like this show. So really, you know. Win-win. It's free.
There you go.
Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review. Then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok. Anywhere you're social, on the web, or with your phone, say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So that is pretty much it until we talk again next week. Let's go over the games until we talk again. On Thursday, December 2nd, the Caps are back home in D.C. up against the Chicago Blackhawks. That game starts at 7 o'clock. You can watch that one on NBC Sports Washington locally here. And then on Saturday, December 4th, the Capitals up against the Columbus Blue Jackets. 7 o'clock start, NBC Sports Washington. And then on Monday, December 6th, the Caps are up against Anaheim. And Coach Dan, you know who's going to be in attendance for that game?
I'm going to go with you.
Me! That's right. M'lady got me tickets to this game for Christmas. It's an early Christmas present.
Nice.
It's a giveaway. Giveaway. It's the ugly Christmas sweater t-shirt giveaway night.
Of course it is.
So we will be going to that. And then on the next episode of What the Puck, I will force Coach Dan to look at me in that t-shirt.
I expect you to find someone who's left one behind so you can snag me one.
Yeah, well, maybe. For a price.
Hey.
That game's at 7 o'clock, and you can watch that on NBC Sports Washington or nationally on the NHL Network. Looking at this schedule, Coach, we've got four games the end of this week and then next week. All four are home. So the Caps, they're going to have 10 days at home, you know, starting with December 1st. That might do them some good since they had a lot of traveling in November. But then they've got let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games on the road this month. So still a lot of travel going on, but 10 days at home, that's pretty good. Hopefully they'll be well rested, and we don't have to think about that Florida game for a while.
Yeah, no, let's definitely not think about that Florida one for just a little while. And, you know, they're not traveling too far. I think, well, no, Winnipeg, that's a bit of a hike. But yeah, they went to Buffalo, that's not that far. Chicago is not terribly far. Philly's not, definitely not far. The Islanders not far, and Detroit's not that far. So outside of Winnipeg, they're not going too far away. The back-to-back games on the 10th and the 11th between, you know, at home against Pittsburgh and then going to Buffalo. Not ideal, but not the end of the world.
Yeah. Good Friday night game, though. Oh, that one's on ESPN Plus. All right, so you guys got to get ready for next week. You want to see Penguins Caps, ESPN Plus and Hulu. But that's next Friday. We'll worry about that then. So, hey, that is it for the show this week. Hey, if you are at the Monday game on December 6th and you see me, you know, say hi. We'll take a picture together. If you are celebrating Hanukkah this week, happy Hanukkah. I hope you're enjoying the holiday season. So I think that's pretty much it for the show this week. So everybody, say it. You know what? I'm kind of bummed we haven't gotten a new catchphrase from Ovi yet this year.
A new quote.
Yeah. I mean, his "it's back" with Tom Wilson's A was pretty funny, but it's not something like I can say at the end of every show. But that one was good. But hey, hopefully these guys, Ovi, give us something, man.
Yeah, come on.
Give us something. Give us something.
Say something All right. funny. Make us laugh.
That is it for the show this week. Everybody, say it loud. Say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.